And turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew chapter 11. We began to look at this last week. In the first 15 verses, we're looking at the messengers from John the Baptist. We're looking at a discussion that John the Baptist disciples have with Jesus Christ. And this morning, we get getting into that place that he speaks to his disciples, Jesus, about John the Baptist. So, remember in chapter 10, we began to look at the fact that as we go out to do the work of the Lord, the apostles didn't, and we should not expect a warm reception because we are going out in the midst of a lost world, and we probably will not be received in a favorable light. So, in chapters 11 and 12, we began to look at that. Somebody need a program? Need a sermon outline? Amy, did you? Everybody got what you need? Okay. You'll need to turn in your Bibles because I don't have the Matthew 11, 7 through 15 scripture in it. So, in verses 1 through 15, we see that John the Baptist has been rejected. Now, next week, we're going to begin to look at not only was John the Baptist rejected, but also Jesus was rejected. And we'll begin to look at that next week. And if you just follow course that if John the Baptist was rejected, Jesus is rejected, what about we? We will be rejected too. Then we'll get into verses 20 through 24. It talks about Chorazin. It talks about Bethsaida. It talks about Capernaum. It talks about towns that rejected Jesus. And they had the gospel light, but they rejected Jesus. It's a really powerful scripture. And then the last six verses in chapter 11 is one of the most clear gospel invitations ever given. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest for your souls. So that's also what we're going to be looking at in chapter 11. But today, what are we going to look at? Well, today we're going to look at the testimony of Jesus in regard to John the Baptist. Now, y'all look at me, and I want to tell you something. One of these days at judgment, Jesus will speak of every one of us. There's going to be a time in which he testifies of who we are and what we've done before the Father. It's going to happen. Now, I want you to think about when Jacob got ready to die. He called his 12 sons to him, and he spoke about every one of them. Really, it was kind of a, he called his sons together and gave them their inheritance. But he went past that. He gave them their inheritance and he gave them what they deserve. Now, I want you to understand, Christians are going to be spoken of by the Father, by the Son to the Father sometime if you are a Christian. That's going to happen. And this is a testimony of that. So we're going to look at what Jesus said about John the Baptist. Then we're going to see that three times in verse 7, 8, and 9, he says this statement. What did you see when you went out into the wilderness? What did you see when you saw John the Baptist? What did you see going on? And so a question for us today is, what did you see this morning when you came here? What did you come here for? What did you go out in the wilderness for? So we ought to pay attention and think about what we are doing. And then there's a strange verse 12. And it says this, that God's kingdom is only advanced by force. And that's not talking about a bayonet. Not talking about a weapon, okay? But God's kingdom is only advanced against evil when it is forced. And we'll look at what that forced means. And then that statement at the end of this 15th verse, he who has ears, let him hear. All right? This morning, all of us here, to some extent, have hearing, some more than others. But he's not talking about hearing sound. He's talking about, you remember in chapter 10, those who receive a prophet gets a prophet's reward. Those who receive a follower of Christ gets the follower of Christ's reward. So we all have ears, and so we came here this morning, and Jesus says, what did you go out to the wilderness to see? You went out looking for John the Baptist. Did you find him? What did you see? So the question for us this morning is, when we come here this morning, what do we see? And are we going to hear with spiritual ears? And if we don't hear with spiritual ears, we will take nothing from here with us. Spiritual. Amen? Chapter 11, verse 7. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? Everybody looking at the Scripture? Got your Bible open? Thank you. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What did you go out to see? A prophet? So the first two questions got a negative reply. They didn't see a bruised reed. They didn't see a reed flowing back and forth. They didn't see a man dressed in king's clothes. But the last question is affirmative. What did you see? Did you see a prophet? And the answer there is yes. He says in verse 9, what then? Did you go out to see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This was not just an ordinary prophet. This was not Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Ezekiel, Moses. This was not just one of the Old Testament prophets. There's something different about John the Baptist. Amen? Behold, it says, verse 10, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send what? My messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Verse 11, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Wow. Verse 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. There's opposition to the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. In America today, there's opposition to the kingdom of God. There's opposition to anything holy, righteous, and just. And look at the last part of verse 12. And the violent take it by force. The kingdom of God is only advanced by those who are diligent to advance the kingdom. It doesn't happen passively. Are y'all listening? Verse 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. They did. Up. Malachi. Maybe Malachi wasn't the last one, but right in there with Malachi. For all the prophets, the law prophesied until John, and if you're willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You who came here this morning to see, I pray that you'll see Jesus and you'll hear the words of God. Dear Lord, I pray that here this morning, you would do with each one of us what you see fit to do. We'll see carefully and be excited and be challenged and encouraged that Jesus give testimony to John the Baptist. I pray that this morning we would see and hear what you would have us to see and to hear. I pray that we would see that John was a prophet, but he was not like the other prophets. And I pray that you would teach us, Lord, in the church, in our families, in our community, at our workplace. We will not advance the kingdom of God without diligence and perseverance. So help us, Lord, this morning to take from this message exactly what you'd have for us to have. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. You can keep your Bible open, but we'll be mostly in the notes right now. And I want to move on because we also have the Lord's Supper this morning. Verse 7. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. As the disciples of John went away, he began to speak to the crowds. He said, "What did you go out in the wilderness to see?" You see, lots of people heard about this guy, John the Baptist, and they went out to see him. Lots of people went out to witness and see him. "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind?" The answer is no. Now listen. Listen to me, please understand this. Jesus will sooner or later bear testimony of every man and woman. John has honored Jesus by going before him and saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Amen? Now, Jesus is going to honor John. Amen? You honor Jesus by your life and your words. He will honor you more importantly than before man. He will honor you before the Father which art in heaven. He says, "You went out to see him." What did you see when you went out there? A man shaken and shaped by the times. Somebody that facilitates back and forth between evil and good. Someone who says one thing in front of the king and another thing in front of the common people. Is that what you saw? No, that's not what you saw. Listen, John was not a man of the times. He stood out like a sore thumb. Camel skin clothing, ate locusts and wild honey. He was a man of the wilderness. He was no flatterer. He was no pleaser of people. He wasn't even concerned about pleasing the king. Amen? He was not easily moved. Listen, John the Baptist was not fickle, nor was he a coward. A coward will not advance the kingdom of God in this day and time. Verse 8. "What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing?" "Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses." So he says in verse 8, "Did you see a man when you got out there that looked like he was going to the ball or going to see the king or going to some event downtown?" That's not what you saw. He said, did you see a man that was delicate? Did you see a man that was soft?" Listen to me. Or did you see a man's man? I'm telling you, church, men in America are being intentionally feminized and softened. Listen to me. And it's happening right here in this church. The last thing that a family needs, the last thing that the church needs, is a soft, effeminate man. We need some strong, courageous men. It is a shame that manhood in America is being emasculated and we're playing right into it. You know what I hear about camp? "Well, he's 9, 10, 11 years old. He just hasn't made up his mind yet whether he wants to go to camp." You know why? Because the air conditioner's working. His games aren't going to camp. His smartphone doesn't work at camp. And it will be hot at camp. Y'all hear me? I think next year we're going to not call it camp. We got 15 girls going, a handful of boys. The girls are tougher than the boys. But see, listen to me. Now I want you to see this dynamic. What's the women? What are young girls being taught in America? To act and look like a man. It's working. And what's the little boy being taught? That being a man for a man is bad. Listen, if you don't understand that, if you don't see that, you are absolutely got your head in the sand. It started 50 years ago. Male TV models were made out to be fools. And now we're called fools. I think next year, we're just going to cut to the bottom line. Don't send them. This is boot camp. This is spiritual boot camp. We will not be games and a good time. We're going to teach them spiritually what they need to know to be a godly man. Either send them or don't. I haven't been studying manhood except since 1990. And I'm paying attention. And we're losing. And I want to tell you, young ladies, the last thing you want is a man. Listen, somebody told me this week, you can get a disability check if you're addicted to video games. I'm serious as I can be. Really? Junk the video games and tell the guy to go get a job. I'm serious. I was afraid this was going to happen. I was afraid that some of y'all think I'm mad. Listen, I'm mad. I am mad for what's happening to manhood in America. Godly manhood. Listen, Jesus was no wimp. He ran the money changers out of the temple with a whip. You young ladies, I'm telling you, before you even think about going to get a Coke with them or going somewhere with them, you need to come and ask me and Pablo and Bob Williams and Charles and Tom and Billy and Russ. You need to say, hey, is this guy a man or is he a wimp? Listen, I'll straight up with you. The last thing you want is an effeminate, soft man, listen to me, that won't work. And parents are just playing into it. So why did they come out in the wilderness? Well, John was hated. You know what he was hated and jailed for? Being plain spoken. Hey, Herod, you ought not be messing around with your brother's wife. Jailed, beheaded. Did he care? What was he concerned about, speaking the truth? Listen, King Herod and his wife burned in their gut for hatred against John the Baptist. Listen to me. People hate to have their sins called out. They still hate it today. Amen. Was John the Baptist in a palace? Hey, you know where he was? He was in the king's worstest of worst prisons. It was a dungeon. It was not the Howard County Hilton, nor the Pike County Hilton, even the modified Hilton in Nevada County, or the jail in Hope. He was in a notorious, terrible situation in prison. That's where John the Baptist was. Verse 9. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Listen. John the Baptist, New Testament, was everything that the greatest prophets of time had been. Look at Malachi 3:1. Behold, I send my messenger. Who else was called my messenger? And he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. You know why he was called greater than the other prophets? He was closer to Jesus than any of them. He was related to Jesus. He was 6 months older than Jesus. He saw Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He spoke of Jesus. Jesus was there. He was close. He also is the one that identified Christ, Jesus Christ, as the Christ. You know what? John the Baptist almost preached the gospel. None of the other prophets almost preached the gospel. Now, Isaiah did, and the Isaiah that we're looking at this week and we'll look at in the weeks to come, almost preached the gospel. You know what? John the Baptist did not. He was not able to teach on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He hadn't witnessed it yet. But he was among the prophets. He was the chief prophet. John was a messenger of God to prepare the way of Jesus. That, you know, listen to me, especially adults. Did you know that's what we are? We are a messenger with our people, with lost people, to prepare the way for them to see the Lord. So because he is that messenger, Jesus recognized him. Listen, Jesus is not ashamed that his prophet, John, is in prison. He's not ashamed of that. He knows why he's there. John had confessed his Lord. And now we see in this scripture that his Lord is confessing him. I want you to understand this rule. Do you have Matthew 10, 32 through 33 in yours? I want you to get this rule. This is a rule. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. Do you get that rule? There's a rule here. You acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before the Father. Look at the next part. But whoever denies me before men, you're not willing to speak about Jesus. In a tough crowd, you don't speak about Jesus. Look what it says. I will also deny them before my Father who is in heaven. That is a rule. And we read it and no big deal. Verse 11, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You know what he's saying? He is saying the last child that became a believer in the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the last one that came into His kingdom that's willing to live for Him, the last child that was converted, is greater than John the Baptist. Do what? Yes, the lowest of lowest, the youngest of youngest, the most inconsequential Christian that there is greater than John the Baptist because he saw Jesus Christ. We believe in His death, burial, and resurrection. John the Baptist didn't have all of that. He was close. But the death, burial, and resurrection hadn't happened yet. That's what the Scripture says. It's a little difficult to understand. Let's see if we can flesh it out in just a bit. Now, John had a very high position in the eyes of Jesus. Amen? Did he not? He said, no greater prophet. That's what he says about him. Up until the coming of Jesus, John was the greatest of those born of woman. But those in the kingdom of heaven are on a higher plane. Okay, John had not yet come into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God came with Jesus. Okay, so now we are in the kingdom of God. A new kingdom is here. A day has come that wasn't there for John the Baptist. What is that day? That day and hour in which those who are dead spiritually, those who do not believe Jesus can be made born again, can become followers of Jesus. John only had a glimpse. John had not heard John 19:30. He's on the cross. They're trying to give him vinegar. Blood's running down his face. And he says these words. It is finished. He was close. But he had not heard those words of Jesus. He had not seen his death. He had not seen the pierced side. He had not seen the empty grave. He had not seen the resurrected Jesus. John, listen, in the old order, John was uno one. He was first. Greater than Abraham. Through what, preacher? Greater than Moses. What? Greater than David. Yes, greater than Elijah. How can I say that? That's what Jesus says. He was the greatest of all the prophets. But those on the lowest ground under the gospel are higher than all those of the higher ground of the law. Anybody who believes in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation is greater than anyone who believes and even keeps the law. You see how he was on a different plane? Under the law or under grace in Christ? How privileged we are to be under the new covenant. What was the song? On the Inside Out? Yeah. How great it is that we don't have laws out here, but we have a Jesus in here. How privileged we are to have the rest of the story. It is finished. To have the testimony of the resurrection. To have the testimony. Joseph can tell you this morning. He can tell you how Jesus is going to come back. John didn't have that. Jesus is going to come back the same way he went on the crowds. Amen? You see, we can point to Jesus now even more clearly than John the Baptist or any of the prophets did. We've got the rest of the story. Amen? Verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. And the violent take it by force. Listen, John had stirred up the people. Do you have Matthew 8, 18 through 22? Turn your Bibles to Matthew 8. It should be just back three chapters to your left as you're turning and looking. I appreciate it so much. This is why we don't need soft, effeminate men in the church. Okay, the church is known as the bride of Christ. But we do a little song in Sunday school every week. I may never march in the infantry, may never ride in the cavalry, may never shoot the artillery, may never fly over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's. We need some men in the church because it takes men to go to the front lines with a bayonet and do battle for the Lord. Y'all not see what's happening? With what's being taught in society and how it's coming into the church. And we don't have any men in the church to even raise their family to know the Lord, let alone to advance the kingdom of God in the world. You're right. Help us, Lord. Matthew 8, look at 18 through 22. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. And a scribe came up and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and the birds there have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Hey, if you got to have a bed, soft pillows and that kind of stuff, it's not going to work. Okay? Verse 21, another disciple said to him, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and lead the dead to bury their own dead." You know what? We don't need any more people like those guys. Come on now, somebody say amen. We need to be bold, determined, zealous, forceful, and convinced that unless you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, even if you're my favorite child in my favorite house, if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will perish. And you need to act like it. We have the entire message. It was time to do business. And with Jesus and John, they knew it. It was time to advance the kingdom of God. And let me tell you, parents, if you've got a child from the womb to not have left the home yet, you've got 17 or 18 years or 10 or 12 years till they become rebellious. You've got that amount of time to get Christ in them that they will be saved. And listen, you got to be intentional about it. You might even have to be forceful about it. You might even have to send them somewhere they don't want to go, because you know better what they need. Listen to me. If you've ever spent a week at camp, and John can testify of it, there's you cannot understand, and parents can't understand, you can't understand what it is for the pastor and three or four godly men to sit around a rectangle table with 8 or 10 boys and open up and study the Word of God. You can't understand it unless you're there. Something happens. Something happens. Listen to me. Lazy, uninspired men without conviction that they have the truth will never convince lost men to enter into the kingdom of God. You'll never do it. It was time to serve Him and follow Him. There's no such thing as witnessing and preaching in a half-hearted manner. And let me explain to you what a half-hearted manner is. The only time that the Bible and the things of the Lord are important is Sunday morning in worship. Kids, from the time that their little brains began to click, know that if this thing called Christ and His church and salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection, if it's really what that guy up there in the pulpit is saying, it's going to affect everything we do, even away from church. Energy and zeal is needed in converting the lost. We need to see more holy violence in the church of God. Sloth, being lethargic, is robbing Jesus of His honor and the church of its witness and success. And we're partakers of it. 1 Kings 18:21. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go on limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. If Baal is God, follow him." And the people did not answer him a word. Listen to me. If Christ is Lord and there's an eternity in heaven and you're going to spend an eternity either in heaven or hell, then serve the Lord. If it's all about the world and the things of the world and you're not concerned about eternity, then serve the world. But I can tell you what we want. We really want the majority of the foot over in the world. Come on now. This is what we really want. But listen, if this is the line right here, let me get over just close enough to Jesus that I might miss hell. Hey, if I'm wrong, y'all bust me out. That's all we want. And I'll tell you, if all we want is to miss hell, we have no idea of what Christ did on the cross. No idea. Listen, I'm not talking about some formality. We must enter at the narrow gate. We must enter the kingdom of God to be saved. We must become followers of Jesus. We must confess Him and follow Him as Lord and Savior. Verse 13, for all the prophets of the law prophesied until John. Verse 14, if you're willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. God did not leave Himself without a witness. There's always been a witness for Christ. There'll always be a witness for Christ. John was that witness. He was the last of the prophets. Now Jesus is here. Jesus has been here. He's left us behind. He still has a witness. So it said, until John. And after John, the kingdom of heaven is set up. That's what we're operating now. We're in the kingdom of God era. The kingdom of heaven. John was the Elijah they had been looking for. He was not literally Elijah, but he was the type of Elijah that they were looking for. He was the one that was going to say, this is the Son of God. Would the people believe Him? Would they repent? Now, y'all listen to this now. A preacher sent from God is no more to the hearer than what the hearer chooses to make of him. If you don't listen to the prophet, pay attention to the prophet or the preacher, and do what the Scripture and that preacher and the Holy Spirit has said to do, you have not listened. And I don't know, but I've been in the church for, not this church, I've been in the church for 39 years. So I know for 39 years the church basically practices the discipline of coming here, enduring for me 55 minutes and leaving and doing nothing with it. Never pick up the notes. Never one more time until we can get it out of our mind to consider, what am I to do with this message? I've just fulfilled my obligation. I didn't want Bruce to be disappointed. I didn't want to get a text about where you were at. I want to check it off. That is not hearing. That's not worship. If you're willing to accept it. Listen, if you're willing to accept the message of the preacher, it could be an avenue of salvation. It could be that you could be edified by it. It could be that you could be sanctified by it if you listen and hear. You know, y'all listen to this. And if you want a personal testimony, I can give you more than one. But I can give you one personal testimony if you want one. Listen to this. If the preacher is not received, he becomes a wart. He becomes a thorn in the finger. Now listen to me. He will make you more and more unwilling to hear and uncomfortable. And we'll get into this further next week. I'm just going to leave you with that. What happens when you become uncomfortable with a preacher? What happens when you become uncomfortable with a preacher and the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God? We'll talk about that next week. Look at Ephesians 4:29. Let no uncorrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who what? Hear. Listen, what happens here is of no benefit if the people don't listen. You talk about an exercise of futility. I would say that between 11 o'clock and noon on Sunday is the greatest hour of futility in America every week. More words are heard and less done with it than any other time of the week. If you're willing to accept John as the coming Elijah, he was not Elijah. He came in the spirit of Elijah. And listen, you remember, what about accepting a prophet? If you accept a prophet and the prophet's message, that means you're accepting the message and the Savior of the prophet. If they accepted John as Elijah, as the forerunner of Jesus, then what were they going to do? They were going to accept Jesus as the Messiah. It all goes hand in hand. Verse 15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. What Jesus is saying here is worth listening to and heeding. If you're going to hear anything, hear this truth. He who has ears, let him hear. Through the hearing ear, divine blessings come to the soul. Then hear and live. Do not listen and die. Now, I'm telling you, I've been seeing this for months. I've been seeing it for months with people who come here and are so eager to hear and so eager to be a part. And they hear and they hear and they hear and they're not converted. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't make Jesus Lord. They're not baptized. They don't become a member of the church. And then they just began to go this away. Listen to me. The one who made the ear, are y'all listening? Has every right to demand that creation pay attention to his voice. Either he has given me to you as your preacher, and you are mandated to listen to the hear, or you need to get you another preacher. Some men have no ears for the truth. But when it comes to coarse joking, falsehood, and vain things, they're all ears. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We talk about what's important. Hey, man, yesterday I was putting out some salt for my deer hunting. I'd love to show you a picture I got. See, we'll talk about that stuff. When's the last time you have left this place and talked with your family or your spouse or with a real friend, something of the Lord? Oh, what a blessing. You can say amen to this. If God has given you listening ears and a spirit of understanding, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let us be thankful for a seeing eye and a hearing ear that we might receive the Lord. Amen. So John the Baptist said, or Isaiah said, like a lamb that's led to slaughter. If you'll flip over just a few, we're gonna go right past 1, 2, and 3. I'm going to finish up. We'll be in the Isaiah scripture. It says, like a lamb that's led to the slaughter. That's what Isaiah said. Daniel said, an anointed one shall be cut off. But here's what John the Baptist said. Behold, the Lamb of God. You know what I can tell you this morning? Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the Messiah. He said, Peter, who do you say that I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He came to pay the penalty that you and I couldn't pay. So this morning, when you think about John the Baptist and what we've talked about this morning, does this not just kind of stir up your heart? Come on now. Either it does or we're dead. Does this not show us the great interest that Jesus has us in all? Listen, John's in prison. He could have been forgotten. Matter of fact, he may have thought, I have been forgotten. Listen, doesn't matter where you're at. You're a child of God. You're working and speaking for Him. Listen to me. 430 years in Egypt. 70 years in Babylon. God does not forget His people. Doesn't it just warm your heart today to know that Jesus Christ is going to testify about your love for the Lord before the throne of God? He's not going to miss it. He's going to testify about you. Do you not just see the great honor that He gives to those who work to advance His kingdom? John was willing to go to prison. Probably most of us will not be thrown into prison advancing the kingdom. But John was. Does it not make you just long for that day when you will hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? I'm going to preach in a couple of weeks about judgment. It's coming. Listen, you know what's certain in America? Death and taxes. Listen, there's more that's definite. Death, taxes. Listen, the professor of peaches in Howard County, the guy that since he was 6 years old had been going to a peach orchard, the guy that probably knows the most about growing peaches in Howard County since last Sunday has died. He is no longer here. Death is coming to us all. After death, there will be judgment. After judgment, there will be an eternity. It's certain. And you'll not be prepared for it unless you've been converted, unless you become a believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, unless you have made Him a priority in your life. So, do we know what it is to be in the battle? You're in a war. And listen, it's not for physical land of a war or for physical life or death. It's for the war for the souls, first of all, your own, then your children, and those that you love and come in contact with. It's a real battle. So, to the downtrodden, to the discouraged, and maybe the doubting, take heart. Take cheer. The Lord is not going to forget you. He records all the good that we do. He does not miss one act of kindness. He does not miss the most timid and even veiled attempt to witness for Him. Someday, those who have repented of their sins, believed in and received the Lord Jesus as Savior, and have been working to advance His kingdom. Look at Matthew 25 through 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." You're going to hear that if you're a child of God. Then we'll know this truth. Every word spoken of on our Master's behalf will receive its reward. Everything that we've done or spoken on the behalf of Jesus Christ will be rewarded. Every bit of it. So next week, we're going to look at the dangers of not hearing and receiving, doing what you've been called to do.